Good evening, folks. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, I hope you all noticed today, and I don't know if it had anything to do with our broadcast last night, but the tone and the feeling of the reporting switched from stone cold on the 11th and 12th to very empathetic, very sympathetic, and very human today. I woke up this morning, turned on the television, and I was so pleased to see that finally, these people were showing that they have a soul, that they care about other people, or at least they're pretending to care about other people, and it's coming across very well. From early this morning until just a few minutes ago when I was getting a sense of what was going on with Larry King live, the reporting has been from the heart, and that's the way it should have been from the beginning, from the very beginning. So, I've told you many times in the past that you would be absolutely amazed at who listens to this broadcast. And a lot of people, a lot of very important people, a lot of politicians, a lot of people in Washington, D.C., a lot of people in the State House in the state of Arizona, a lot of people in the military. You'd be amazed at how many military personnel listen to this broadcast. People in the media, because they're scared to death of us. They, for some reason, they believe that we're dangerous. And we're not. We're not dangerous at all. Well, under certain circumstances, I guess we could be, but we're not. We're not a threat to the nation. We believe in government. The right government. Constitutional Republican government. We believe in the law. But they don't see it that way. They're Marxists, communists, and they're scared to death of us. Because their agenda is totally different. They don't believe in constitutional Republican government. Their agenda is completely opposite to what ours is. And that's really the reason why they're so afraid of it. And that's why they listen to me. Because I speak the truth on this broadcast, and I've got my fingers on the pulse of everybody in this country who thinks and feels like I do. And so they make it a point to know what it is that we're thinking and feeling. And so I think last night's broadcast had a tremendous effect upon the way the news is being reported. And I think that they took that to heart because it's completely changed. And it didn't change gradually. It was like all of a sudden this morning everything was different. I don't know if the rest of you noticed that or not, but I certainly did, and I'm so glad. I am so happy that has occurred, because today I got just a little glimpse of the country that I thought was gone so long ago. Doesn't mean that it's come back, but at least that aspect of it, for today at least, was here with us for everyone in the whole world to see. Listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. now you know why. Tonight, folks, I want to talk about something that's extremely important that everyone, and I do mean everyone, is overlooking. I don't know why they're overlooking these facts, but they'd better stop it. And they better change their rhetoric real quick because it doesn't wash. But all the news broadcasts, whenever they're referring to these attacks upon the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, buildings, towers, if you will. They refer to them as senseless acts conducted by cowards. And that just simply is not true. Number one, they are not senseless acts. They serve an agenda. They have a goal that is very clear and concise. And these attacks were carried out by people who were willing to die for what they believe, and they were in no manner. Make no mistake about it, these people were not cowards. And the ones that are still alive that may carry out future attacks are not cowards either, and that kind of rhetoric will instill in us an attitude toward them that will ensure that they'll be able to carry out whatever it is that they want to do. There's nothing more dangerous in this world, and I've told you this before, than a man or woman who is not afraid to die for what they believe in. You see, because I'm that way. When I fought in Vietnam, I was fighting people who ran around in the jungle with sandals actually made out of tire tread, with a little bag of rice tied around their belt whenever they had a little bag of rice. They wore black silk, what looked like pajamas, but in a humid jungle is a very, very efficient uniform. And they were willing to die for what they believed. Not so with all of us. We were there to fight communism, believing that we were fighting for freedom and the Constitution, but we were trying to stay alive. And that's what made the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army so dangerous and so hard to defeat. We never defeated them. And for all of you who say, well, if we'd have just dropped a hydrogen bomb on Hanoi, it would have been all over. You're wrong. It would not have been all over. It would have steeled their resolve. It would have caused millions more of them to leave their homes and their factories and their farms and stream into the South to fight us all that much harder. Because they believed in their cause. They were not afraid to die. And I'm not making this up. I was there. I know. These were brave people who believed in their cause. Whether we did or not, they did. And these people in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen, whether we agree with their religion, whether we agree with their agenda or their cause, we had better start listening to them. And we had better understand that they are dedicated to their religion and to their cause. They are brave men and women. They've proven that over and over and over again. And they are willing to die for what they believe. And you cannot defeat such a people. We should hunt down, find the people responsible for what happened in this country on Tuesday, bring them back to this country, try them, and sentence them to whatever punishment is required. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we send military forces to attack these people en masse and kill their women and their children and bomb their schools and their cities and their homes, it will their resolve, and 1,000 times the number who have been members of these terrorist cells that attacked us on Tuesday will spring up to take their place, and they will die for what they believe. No one is addressing this fact. No one's talking about it. No one seems to understand it. It's what makes me willing to die for what I believe is that I am absolutely convinced that I am right in my cause, in my stand to defend and protect freedom and constitutional Republican government. No matter who agrees with me or disagrees with me, I am willing and ready to give my life in that cause at any time. So I understand these people. I understand their mental mindset. And no matter what is thrown against them or thrown against me, it will not change. It's what makes them so dangerous. It's what makes me so dangerous. It's what throughout the history of the world has enabled a very small number of people to defeat entire nations. It's what enabled Jesus to go to his death on the cross. He believed in his cause, and he was willing to die for what he believed. Be right back. We're going to open the phones. And I'm sure I'm going to get some flack for this, but it's the truth. And you had better recognize it. You had better temper the hand of Congress and the hand of the White House. If you don't want a future of consecutive terrorist attacks that never will end, and I'm telling you, the next one, the next huge, tremendous terrorist attack will be an atomic weapon in one of our major cities. Take it to the bank. It's worth its weight in gold, and it's absolutely the truth. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Bill from Michigan.
Hello, Bill.
Yes, no truer words were spoken. Those are my exact same sentiments, and you are 100% on the barrelhead, and I wish our government could understand it. It practically brings tears to my eyes that my government can't understand this. And you're right. We're going to go over there, and it's just going to make more and more and escalate this thing into something that's going to cause more problems than they can ever imagine.
And more life of life, more loss of life than everybody thought. Oklahoma City was a tremendous loss of life. Compared to what happened on Tuesday, it was nothing. And I'm telling you, compared to what will come, if we don't analyze the reason why these people are doing these things and do something to stop it other than go over there and kill their men, women, children, and bomb their cities and do another Bosnia, they will detonate an atomic bomb in one of our major cities. And that is beyond comprehension.
Well, you're right. Think about it. Russia has nuclear weapons that are missing, up to 300 or 400 of them.
That's right.
And I'm sure Osama bin Laden is in possession of some of them.
I don't know about Osama bin Laden, but I know that those weapons are somewhere. And if the Russians don't have them, then that means somebody else does.
That's right. I wish we could get people to wake up. It really grieves me to see the ignorance and the stupidity in this country.
Well, Americans are elitist. Somehow we have the idea that we don't have to listen or pay attention to anybody else in the world. And if we don't like what they're doing, we can just send over our military and our planes and just bomb them out of existence. But every time we've tried that, we've never bombed anybody out of existence. We've never broken their resolve. What we've always done is created bigger, more numerous, and more dedicated enemies that hate our guts, literally.
That's right. Hate our guts with a passion because, see, it's a sacred thing to them. It's an honor for them to give their life for their cause. And by the way, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was over there for 14 months, and I served aboard the USS Vesuvius AE-15, an ammunition ship supplying bombs to aircraft carriers.
Well, then, you know what I was talking about.
I know. It's a mess. I just wish they could see it. I hope this country can begin to pull itself together and smell the coffee and take a good look at what's really going on. But I just wanted to tell everybody out there, you are 100% on the barrelhead, and I'm sure there's other people that want to call. I just wanted to voice my opinion because it really grieves me. It really does.
Oh, me too. I sat there watching the television for a good portion of the day. Not all at once, but, you know, going up back and forth every once in a while, switching between the channels to see what the tone of the reporting is. And this is a terrible tragedy.
Yes.
I had a lot of tears today. I have a deep and abiding empathy with all of these people who have lost loved ones and just for the dead and injured in general. I mean, it just wells up in me from time to time. There's nothing I can do to stop the tears. They just flow right out.
Yeah, that's the exact same thing that I felt was tears when I seen that plane hit that tower for the first time. That's exactly how I felt. One more thing that nobody has mentioned. Remember Flight 800 that went down?
Yeah.
It could have been a missile. But also, too, if there was an Arabic pilot, an Egyptian pilot, on another flight that started chanting a bunch of Arabic and just crashed that plane into the ocean and killed a bunch of people, too, not too long ago. And that's another point I haven't heard no one bring up yet.
Well, TWA Flight 800 was shot down by a missile. There's no doubt about that.
I agree. I'm going to let you go because I'm sure some other people like to make comments, but keep up the good work and I'll be praying for you.
Thank you for calling.
With you all the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And by the way, folks, that commercial airliner that was hijacked that crashed in Pennsylvania was shot down. I have talked to numerous eyewitnesses who saw an American jet fighter fire a missile into that plane. The plane exploded in midair. There's wreckage literally scattered over miles. It didn't just, you know, go down and crash into the earth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, howdy, Bill. It's my take, this, and I've discussed this with friends overseas. The problem that our country is missing is the why, which you've touched on. And the why is, if we look at all the countries we went after Iraq. Iraq never did anything to us. In fact, Saddam Hussein was trained by the CIA. He was their asset.
That's right. We put him in power. We trained him. We gave him all of his weapons and chemicals and everything else to build his army and train them. It was all done by the Central Intelligence Agency. Central Intelligence Agency created and trained Osama bin Laden and trained him how to recruit and train his people and equipped him. And when Saddam Hussein actually asked our permission through April Glaspie, who was our ambassador to Iraq, if the United States would look favorably or look the other way if he attacked Kuwait.
That's very true. And in fact, remember,
we gave him permission, sure, and then when he did it, we used that as the excuse to go in there and attack Iraq.
Do you remember when the ambassador came back? It took her a month of tutoring before she appeared before Congress.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she wouldn't talk to anybody. But when she did, she told the truth. And it's on the record.
But in essence, what we've done is that we're the big bully. And the little guy, the juvenile delinquent, is Israel. And Israel's raising all kinds of cane over there under our umbrella. We supply it, and I can understand why they hate us. In essence, most all of our operations, and I call them military adventures, lately are against the Arabs, with the one exception we went into Kosovo and bombed Yugoslavia.
And that was a bully action too.
But that's the problem. This country has, since World War II, has never known, you know, what it's like. And even in World War II, you know, what it was like to have a collateral damage on your own shores.
Yeah.
It's terrible, but I fully understand why they are. And, you know, the Israelis have done terrible things to the Palestinians. They went in and destroyed houses just on whims, you know. I mean, all the stuff that's been going on.
Yeah, they show up one day and just bulldoze everybody's house in the village.
Sure.
And they don't even tell them why. And then they pull out.
Well, they give a phony baloney excuse. Well, you know, you didn't have a permit or this and that. But it's
we need to open up a buffer zone so that your children don't throw rocks at it. You know, but it's more complicated than that. It is much more complicated than that, and until we stop ignoring these voices that are crying out in anguish and telling the world that there's something wrong, and they're not going to be satisfied by what we want to force them into accepting, this isn't going to be solved.
Well, but the problem, Bill, is that, and you stated this, and I know this to be true, the Israeli faction controls our government.
Well, that's
that. And they're pressing now. You know, they're wanting to turn us against their enemies like the Saddam.
Well, I don't believe that the Israeli faction controls our government. Even though there was an article written in Haaretz called "In Our Hands" that claims that they do. I think money controls our government, and I think a hidden agenda to create a world totalitarian socialist government and enslave the human race, I think those two things are what are controlling our government and a whole bunch of other governments. And whatever they do that leads them toward the realization of that goal, they will do.
That's true. But
and backing Israel helps them reach that goal. Backing Israel helps create an international situation that screams for world government.
But they stop very short.
Very short of what?
Of criticizing Israel. Like, I mean,
you don't understand. It's not about Israel. It's about world government. Israel is an aid to bringing that about. In fact, I think that may have been the whole reason Israel is a pawn of world government. I think that's the whole reason Israel was created in the first place, to help bring about world government.
It could be, but it's very, very complicated. But
everything that's happening in the world is not the fault of Israel.
No.
Israel is doing a lot of things wrong, and we're doing a lot of things wrong, and the Arabs and Palestinians are doing a lot of things wrong. But going in and bombing or blaming either side is not going to solve the problem. You have to go in and find a solution that makes all of those people happy. Because if the Jews aren't happy, they will become the terrorists. They've done it before.
Well, they,
and if the Palestinians and the Arabs aren't happy, they will be the terrorists. They're doing it now.
Exactly. But see, they were heading for
the... No, there's no buts. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't figure a way, if we, all of us, can't figure a way to make all those people happy, you can sit here and denigrate Israel till the cows come home, you know, 6 months from now. It's not going to change a thing. The Jews have to be happy in the outcome, and so do the Arabs and Palestinians.
But the problem is this, is that the Palestinians want their land back, they want Israel to get off their back and leave them alone. Israel does not want to give them the land back, and they're not going to leave them alone. And they both want Jerusalem.
We all know that. But we have to figure out a solution that makes everybody happy. We've got to. If we can't, then we're going to watch one of our cities go up in a puff of smoke from an atomic explosion.
It's not going to happen with Sharon in there. Look what happened.
How do you know? Nobody's trying to make it happen. That's my whole point here. Nobody is trying to make it happen. They're all doing the wrong things. Now we're going to go and create more enemies in the Arab world.
Exactly.
By bombing some Arab country into oblivion.
Right. You're right. And they're going to do it. And it's stupid mentality.
It's absolutely insane.
But, you know, you mentioned the Viet Cong. Look at us, barefooted soldiers against the British. But we got the result. We were fighting for our country.
That's right.
And our soil.
That's right. And we were willing to die for what we believed.
Death.
You cannot defeat a people who's willing to die for what they can't beat them.
And the Vietnamese, they were trying.
You may win the battles. You may win the battles. You may occupy their land. But in secret, they'll be building bombs and blowing you to hell every day. And that's the truth.
Well, okay, well, good luck, and God bless y'all. And it just killed me today to watch those family members get on TV. The father talking about the call from his son.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I felt it very deeply. But
okay.
It's a lot better than what's been going on the last couple of days.
You bet.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Because that's what it's really all about. It's not about the destruction of buildings. It's not about an attack upon America. It's about the pain and suffering of all these people. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Doug. Two things. One, I served in Nam, and I know one thing that we were, you know, and you know, that we were handcuffed over there. So it wasn't just their resolve, but also...
No, it was their resolve. We were handcuffed to an extent, but we weren't fighting that war the way we should have fought it. And even if we'd have used atomic weapons, we still would not have beaten those people.
No, not with...
And it wasn't about territory. You could move in and take a mountain one day, and the next day you'd go and take another mountain, and the mountain you just left, they'd be right back there.
I've seen where POWs, the ones that were shot down, the Navy flyers, some of them said, you know, that they would leave the aircraft carrier in secret, and the Viet Cong knew which anti-aircraft batteries, I mean, the North Vietnamese knew which anti-aircraft batteries that had to be ready because they knew which way, because we had a multitude of ways of coming into each target, and they always knew which way we were coming into our targets, you know. But one thing that I did want to say, did you hear, I'm from New York, and...
I can tell.
We do have, you know, I have 3 firemen in my family and stuff like that. We nearly lost them. But the thing is, I don't know if you've heard our beloved Charles Schumer's announcement to the world.
No, I didn't hear a thing that he's... I haven't seen him, and I'm glad that I didn't, because it would have enraged me. Just looking at that man makes me angry.
I totally agree with you. He's scum. I just would like to read you just one line out of what he said.
Go ahead.
As an American, make no mistake about it. Today we woke up in a new America, a new world. It's a new era.
Yeah, and we all...
Do tell it, rub it in our face.
We know what he means, huh?
Oh, of course we do.
Okay.
Okay, have a good night, and God bless you.
Thanks for calling. Also, I don't know whether you have read about it or not, but Congress is now railroading, and I mean railroading, on the fast track, a brand new anti-terrorism bill. And if you know anything about all the others they passed, get ready, get ready. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes.
What is the answer? You say if we can figure out this and that.
Yeah, I said if we can figure out. Yeah, listen to me. I said if we can figure it out. If I knew the answer, I would have said the answer instead of if we can figure it out. I don't know what the answer is. But we had better
suggestions or ideas.
But we had better find an answer.
Yes, sir. Okay, I have, I'm still listening. I have no other comment. I just wanted to ask you that one thing, and I thank you very much.
I think one thing that would be on the road to an answer.
Yes, sir.
Would be if the government in Israel would step aside and invite the Palestinians who have lost. And then agree to form a coalition government that they could all live under, that would be a good first step in the right direction. But I don't know if anybody would be willing to do that.
Bill, do you really think that they would be satisfied with more?
It doesn't matter
more
what
and more?
What do you mean more and more? That was their land. Are you kidding me? Israel is saying, because we lived here over 2,000 years ago, this land belongs to us, and we're going to take it, and you're all going to get out, and we're going to own it, and you're not going to be allowed back. Now, just imagine what would happen if the Native Americans said that.
You're saying give it back.
I didn't say give it back. I said invite them in to form a coalition government and have those people live in peace together.
You trust Arafat, for God's sake?
I didn't say anything about Arafat, did I?
No, you didn't. No, sir.
See, your mind is stuck in a rut. You got to get it out of that rut. Maybe Arafat doesn't belong in it.
Okay, how do I get my mind out of a rut in case I'm
stop thinking, stop thinking the way that we've been told that we have to think. We have to look at this in another way. And so do the Israelis, and so do the Palestinians. Because the way that we've all been taught that we're supposed to look at it is wrong, is not going to work, is never going to reach a solution, and is only going to result in more of what happened on Tuesday, not just here, but all over the world.
Do you believe there can be peace in the Middle East, yes?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to be reached, but I know that people who have good hearts, who want to reach a peaceful solution to their problems, can do it, if they really want to. The problem arises when you have one side or the other side or both sides that absolutely refuse. That's the problem we have in this country. We have people who are bent upon destroying this country from within and bringing about a world socialist government, and we have those of us who are loyal to our Constitution and to freedom who don't want that to happen. And the two will never meet in the middle. And that may be the problem in the Middle East.
Bill, with our coming back or going after them, as you're warning not to...
No, I didn't say not to. I said we must go after those who are guilty of orchestrating, perpetrating, and carrying out this act, and those who finance them, capture them, bring them, try them in court. Don't go over there with B-52s and huge regiments of troops and start killing people.
Right.
That's what I said.
Do you see cell members in the U.S. Taking action against us doing anything? Against us again after we take step number two. They did number one. We did do number two. What's next?
Until a solution
yes.
to the problem that causes these people to want to do these things is reached,
yes.
they're going to keep doing it. And the next time it might be you and your family.
On our soil.
Might be your whole city. Yeah, why do you... After what happened on Tuesday, you think it's not going to happen on our soil again? I'm telling you, it's never going to end if we don't reach a solution to the problem. It will never end. And ultimately, listen to me very carefully.
Yes.
They're going to detonate an atomic bomb in one of our major cities. Might be yours. Where do you live?
I believe you.
It's the truth.
Yes.
You want to take a chance on that?
No, sir.
Okay. Then you know what I'm talking about.
Thanks very much, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. You brought up some good points, and I'm glad you did.
Thank you, sir.
520-333-4578 is the number. Oh. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Nick in Charlotte.
Hi, Nick. Good.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I told several of my coworkers the same thing Tuesday when we were watching the news at the office. And I told them, you know, when they came out the talking heads and said, oh, what a cowardly act, what a cowardly act. And the guys around me were agreeing. I said, no, it takes a lot of guts to do what they did. I mean, you kill that many thousands of people, you're betting your soul on it, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a person that's...
And certainly your life. They had to sit in that pilot's chair and watch that building coming right at them.
Oh, yeah.
And not even flinch.
That's right.
And that takes a brave man to do
that.
Yeah,
and then I heard, well, they were stupid. They weren't stupid. They got away with it. They managed to hijack four planes. That's not stupidity.
It's not stupid at all.
So you don't think, you think this was purely a terrorist group that did this. You don't think there was any outside prodding or coercion to maneuver them into doing this?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is.
That's kind of the feeling I had.
For instance, if this is Osama bin Laden, who does Osama bin Laden traditionally attack?
You got me on that one. I'd say Israel, I guess.
I don't know of any time that Osama bin Laden has ever attacked Israel. Do you?
No, actually, right now I don't.
He always attacks the United States, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The embassy, that's right.
And sometimes he attacks some of his other Arab neighbors, doesn't he?
I have to take your word on that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Well, it's the truth. And he also fought the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union was in control of Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember that.
Now, if that's true,
right?
Everybody ought to think about that for a little bit.
Yeah. You're right about that, too.
Who benefits from all this?
Definitely not us.
No, not us.
Him and his cause.
Certainly not Osama bin Laden. Certainly not the Arab world. Certainly not Muslims.
That's right.
Think about it.
You know, that's a real neat way of looking at things.
And then read The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Yeah, that's right. Let me ask you this.
If you can mount an attack against yourself, and make everybody think that it came from who you want to be perceived as your enemy, what have you done?
Oh, it's deception. Deception is the art of war.
Yeah. But I'm not necessarily talking about the United States government. I'm
right.
Talking about anybody who benefits.
Right.
Where does Osama bin Laden get all this money?
Yeah, let's see. He got his training from the CIA.
Yeah.
What I've read.
Yeah.
He got his money from, I heard he, well, they've been saying he inherited most of it from his father, which is oil.
Well, he is pretty rich, and he got a lot of it from his father. And his father was in business with George Bush Sr. and George Bush, who's in the White House right now.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. When they trained him to lead resistance, to lead some of the resistance against the Soviets, when the CIA trained him, did they train him with the thought that they might be able to use him like this in the future or maneuver him into doing this in the future?
Of course. The CIA always does that. And once you belong to the CIA, you always belong to the CIA unless they want to cut you loose, and that very seldom ever happens.
So does he know he's being used like this, or is he just playing along with the script?
I have no idea. I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, and I will tell you this. There are witting agents and unwitting agents.
Right.
And there are double agents. Okay.
Right.
So you have agents that operate on your side. You have double agents that you know are double agents that you could exploit.
Mm-hmm.
Witting agents are agents that work for you. Double agents work for both sides, but you know they're double agents, so you can exploit that fact. And then you have unwitting agents, which are people that you can either bribe or influence because of their political views or take advantage of their patriotism, like Timothy McVeigh, for instance.
Right.
Or manipulate them with sex. There's lots of ways to manipulate people into doing things without their knowledge that they're even doing them because you want them to do them.
You think we'll have any more attacks like this in the next couple of weeks?
I don't know if we'll have them in the next couple of weeks, but I'll tell you what, they stopped two today.
Yeah, I know. And I heard that on CNN.
They stopped two today, which means, according to their own figures, there are still eight more in place in this country, ready and willing to do it.
Yeah, the...
And that's just of this group. Terrorist organizations and people who target a nation never just send one group. They send a whole bunch of groups, none of which know anything about the others, so that if one fails, the rest still have a chance.
That's right. And one last comment, where you said that just a massive attack against these people, against Afghanistan, which is probably what it's shaping up to look like, would only steal their resolve. People ought to think about it like this. How much is this bombing and is this attack made us mad? How much has it made us determined to get even?
Yeah.
And then just translate that back to them.
Yeah, and how
you got your answer.
And how many people are they going to kill that had absolutely no knowledge of it and absolutely nothing to do with it?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm all for revenge, and I'm all for justice. I should say justice, not really revenge, but it's got to be done against the people that committed this, and it's got to be done properly.
Forget revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not ours. It is not our place to seek revenge. It is our place to seek justice.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Unless, of course, you want to risk your own immortal soul.
I think I'll pass on that.
Me too. Thank you for calling.
Right.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. I was just to speculate. I was just wondering if we're not actually witnessing a war going on between the CIA organization and, say, like the organization of the Naval Intelligence Group.
No.
No?
No. No,
are they that intermingled?
Let me tell you something. You've been reading a lot of the disinformation out there, especially in the ufology community that keeps talking about a war between the CIA and the office. Bullshit. Just forget it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't come from that.
Well, wherever it comes from, it's not true.
Well, I was just wondering.
It's not true.
So.
And intelligence organizations gather information.
Right.
Okay, that's their primary job. They don't wage war. Their secondary job is what's called counterintelligence, which is to deceive the enemy into believing false information is true. So forget all this stuff you've been hearing about the intelligence community. They gather information and they deceive the enemy, period. That's all they do. They don't war with each other or with anybody else.
So there are eyewitnesses that actually saw that plane shot down.
Yes. Yes. And we've located a couple of more, which I have not been able to communicate with. A couple of people called and said they were in a restaurant. And heard two well-dressed men talking about how they were in a small plane in the air, and they actually talked to these people, and before they were ordered to land, in fact, they had already been ordered to land, and they were on the way to the airport to land, they watched a jet fighter shoot this plane down. And
so the passengers had overpowered the terrorists?
I don't know.
And probably got command of the plane again.
I don't know.
We don't know that, but I'm just speculating.
Well, don't speculate, because nobody knows. And I'm telling you, this story the government's putting out is not true. That plane was shot down. And we're trying to get a hold of them, because that's two more witnesses that saw it shot down. And so we've got people trying to get them to agree to talk to me.
Well,
But we've already talked to six people who all saw it shot down. They're not lying. They're telling the truth.
Well, and it seems like they are just all hell's bell loose to get this New World Order thing finalized. I know we've been in the middle of it, but it seems to me like this is going to really come back and bite them in the hand if, in fact, we go after the wrong people and they drop atom bombs on us.
Well, yeah, but that's what will happen. They won't necessarily drop them on us. They'll smuggle them into the country somehow, or smuggle the components in piece by piece over a period of time and assemble it in some abandoned subway under New York City or Chicago or something. And then the next thing you know, the city is going to be nothing but dust. That's what's going to happen. If we don't,
guys out there that are listening to you, they better pull their heads out and start looking at what's really happening.
Yep, they better. In fact,
that George Bush Sr. is the guy that ought to be indicted, because he's the one that's precipitated all of this.
Well, he didn't precipitate all of it, but he had his hand in it, and he is guilty. Absolutely, yes.
Along with a lot more of them.
Yes, that's true.
I wonder if that boy of his is not thinking that he's gotten himself into the middle of hell's furnace here with all this crap.
Well, I wish he'd sit back and think about it, but I think he's going to be furthering the interest of the cabal to which he belongs that's helping to bring about world government. He's already reneged on
a change of heart.
He's already reneged on all his campaign promises. He's for globalism. He's for breaking down the borders between the United States and Mexico and the United States and Canada. And there's only one goal for that, and that's to cement Region 1 of the New World Order.
Yes.
That's to do it. So if you think George Bush Jr. is on your side, you better think again. He doesn't give a damn about you or me. He has a goal, an agenda, and he's going to further that goal. And remember when he was elected, I told you that there will be war in the Middle East, major war. Didn't I?
Yes.
Was I right again?
Yes.
Yep, and I also told you that that terrorist event was going to happen, didn't I?
Yes.
Yep. Was I right again?
Yes.
Yep. And I'm telling you right now, if we don't get a handle on this and stop all this crap, an atomic weapon will be detonated in one of our major cities. And I will be right again.
How are we going to get the people in Washington and at the state level to start paying attention and seeing what's really at hand?
I don't know. I've been trying for years just to get anybody to listen.
I mean, the corruption here at the county level where I live is terrible.
Yep.
And it goes all the way up to the state of Austin.
Yep, and all the way to Washington, D.C. Yeah, that's true. Don't be surprised at what's happening in Washington if you understand what's happening in your city.
I see the corruption going on here where I live in the county level, and then how it rides the ladder up all the way to Austin.
Good government requires good people.
You know what? We don't have a lot of good people anymore. We have a lot of low-class, no-class, degenerates.
Scum-sucking, Marxist, communist traitors, greedy jerks. That's right.
See you around, Bill.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. I sure was so happy to see the change in the tone of reporting today. It reached down to people. And that's where it should have been to start with. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. Do you see possibly a biological warfare coming up with using biological?
It's a possibility. But I'm not going to fuel all this crap that's floating around out there about contrails. And I've already seen it on the internet. You heard somebody call in the other night to trying to start it on here about those planes were carrying biological and chemical warfare, and pretty soon people in New York City are going to start dropping dead. And I don't even want to get near that kind of crap because those people are really sick.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I did.
So I'm not going to fuel their fires.
Right. I did notice that they were showing more compassion today after your show last night.
A lot more compassion. Yeah. Yeah, and it was wonderful to see that. I was so thankful to see that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they were holding it in for like 3 days and it finally come out, or from your show they finally released it. You know, they started to show that they were the human side of them.
I can't tell you exactly why it happened, but I do know that a lot of the people who are in powerful positions that could make that happen do listen to this broadcast on a regular basis.
Right, it sure seemed like it. Well, great show, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for calling.
Sure thing.
520-333-4578 is the number. By the way, folks, we need your donations. We need them badly. We need your donations badly. And by the way, while I'm at it, I want to thank Ed from Connecticut. You know, Tuesday morning, Alan Wiener called me at my home early and wanted me to go on the air right away and do the news all day or as long as it took to make sure that everybody knew the truth and wasn't hysterical and got calmed down and all that kind of stuff. And so I did it. And Alan was paying for all of it except for my normal hour between 7 and 8. But Ed from Connecticut, one of our listeners, called WBCQ and has insisted absolutely insist that even though Alan said, no, you don't have to do that, it's all taken care of, he insisted. He knows how expensive it is to run a broadcast station, and he insisted on paying for all of that airtime. So thank you, Ed from Connecticut. I appreciate that, and I know all the listeners do, and certainly Alan Weiner does, because he barely makes it from month to month, I can tell you that for sure. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Dave in Michigan.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Did you catch the ABC World News tonight?
No.
Okay, they were talking about 2.5 miles away in the lake where the plane was shot down. They were digging, they were getting material out of the lake.
Yeah. See, if that plane had just crashed into the earth, the wreckage would have been confined to a certain area. But it spread over miles, which means that plane, it was hit in the air by a missile, disintegrated in the air, and there's wreckage everywhere.
So then they, immediately after they went from the lake, they went to Ashcroft. And he said, I do not want to make any comment on that whatsoever.
Yeah. No, they don't want to admit it. They're not going to admit that they shot an airplane full of live American citizens out of the air, even though that's exactly what they should have done. I wholeheartedly thank them for doing it, because it might have crashed into the White House or into the Capitol building or some other, you know, it might have, who knows where they were headed.
Now, have you gotten any intelligence on Camp David?
Only that that the vice president is there.
Or Cheney's there?
Yeah.
I heard it got hit.
No.
It's absolutely not been hit?
No.
Okay.
No, and Cheney's there. They're keeping the president and vice president separate in case there are more attacks that might be successful against one or the other.
Okay. All right, Bill. I'll let other people get on. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's lots of rumors flying around, folks. Lots and lots of rumors. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to let you know about a few things that I noticed extremely interesting today about George Bush. For starters, when he gives the American people the reason why we were attacked, he'll say that our American freedom is under attack because they don't like our value system and our way of government, and that we have freedom here.
He's trying
that's
to,
why they're attacking us.
He's trying to appease us fanatics.
Right. And
he's trying to make us think that he is our friend. Meanwhile, they are instituting security measures, introducing an anti-terrorist bill, and taking steps to strip us of our freedoms.
Right.
All the while talking about our freedom was attacked and we have to protect and maintain our freedom. If you listen to that, you believe a word they're saying. Then I feel sorry for you.
Right, I know. When I hear him saying that, meanwhile, I'm thinking the biggest attackers of our freedoms are our own government right now.
That's true.
And whoever this terrorist is that's attacking us, whether it's Osama bin Laden or somebody else or whoever.
Remember what I said. Who benefits?
Right.
Right now, there's only two that benefit. That's world government and the state of Israel.
Right. And the thing is, he'll never mention that maybe our foreign policy is a little bit skewed and maybe we should, you know, have a second thought as to that we have our fingers in every corner of the globe meddling in people's affairs, and maybe, you know, we need to reassess our foreign policy.
Maybe we ought to leave other people alone to solve their own problems, and maybe they wouldn't hate us so much, huh?
Exactly. So it's just, you know, he tries to guilt the American people into thinking that it's they don't like our government. I doubt whatever terrorist is, you know, gives a hoot what kind of government we have or don't have.
Okay, what makes those people want to do things to us is that we're doing things to them that hurt them terribly.
Exactly.
Has nothing to do with them hating our government.
Right.
Nothing whatsoever. They don't know anything about our government to begin with.
Right. I mean, half the people in this country seem now waving the American flag. It kind of annoys me a little bit because they don't even know what it stands for. They've probably never read the Constitution. And
no, they don't.
You know, and they're waving this flag and they have no idea that what it stands for and that, you know, this whole thing, protect our freedom. It's like, yeah, we're going to have to sacrifice our freedom now for their security.
And, you know, Congress passed a resolution for everybody to fly their flag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. As if Congress didn't have something better to do.
And they also passed a resolution condemning the Terrorist Act.
Yeah.
Like they're going to approve of it?
As if they approved of it, and as if anybody was in doubt that they didn't approve of it.
Right, right. And also, two other interesting things.
It's so stupid. It's like watching a bunch of stupid ninth graders in high school trying to figure out what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. It's
and these are grown men who are supposed to be representing us in government.
It's very frustrating. But also George Bush, I don't know if you saw that, he cried.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. And also Peter Jennings cried.
I saw that, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So just, it was interesting. You talked about that the night before.
And I believe that they were genuine tears. No matter what their agenda is, I don't believe that you can even, in your wildest dreams, even think of that many people being killed and hurt and their loved ones and orphaned children and all that stuff without feeling some emotion. That's why I was so angry last night. I couldn't understand. Where are these people's emotions at? What is wrong with them?
Right.
Well, today, maybe they were in shock for 2 days. Maybe they did listen to my broadcast last night. But whatever caused it, they were doing the right things today, and I was very happy to see that.
Right. Okay, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Oh, boy, we're out of time, folks. I'm sorry. I wish this could go on because I think tonight's topic was probably the most important topic that we've discussed in a long, long, long time. And I think everybody ought to think about it. You should be calling talk shows and talking about it. You should be calling and writing your senators and representatives and talking about it. And you should be calling and writing and faxing the White House and talking about it. Don't send emails. Nobody pays any attention to emails. Period. Good night. Good night, everybody. And God bless each and every single one of you. God bless this nation. Pray for us all. We all need it. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you. By the way, folks, if you're listening and you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area and you know Robin Quayle, please contact her and ask her to call me. She called the other night and was going to call back and never did. My phone has been ringing off the wall, so she probably couldn't get through. So if you're in Atlanta, Georgia and you know Robin Quayle, please tell her to call me. I really would like to talk to her. Thank you very much. Don't miss the hour of the time, Monday night. I'm going to make the connection between the Bush family and Osama bin Laden.